It's your boy Jared the Great, and you are tuned into a brand new episode of the Dignified Delinquents Podcast. Now, listen, here's the thing. It's just me in here by myself. This is what I'm going to call a mini pod, because I know that we've been gone for, what is it? Has it been 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 2 weeks? Maybe 2 weeks. We've been gone for 2 weeks, and I'm just here to catch y'all up, explain what's been going on, talk about my beef with Breeze, and I'm gonna let y'all get on about y'all good old Saturday, man. No, I don't know if I told y'all this, if I ever said it publicly. Some folks know, but some folks don't. So Breeze started a master's program, and in January, I finished my master's program in August of last year, and then Niecy left the show in December. So we were trying to figure out like how we wanted to do the show. I know with Bree starting the master's program, being a husband and a father, that doing the show every week wasn't going to be good. Because, nigga, I was doing the show every week in my master's program, and the shit wasn't good. Like, I was going crazy. So we last December, we came up with the idea of recording the shows in bulk, like taking one day out of the month, knocking out like four shows, and then uploading those. And then we were like, well, shit, like that's cool, but some of the shit that we happen like currently that we want to talk about, we got to be able to do that. So like, let's record the shows in bulk. Let's do one show a week. Like, let's do one show a week. Let's pick a week and do one show, and then we can talk about current shit. So a couple of, I don't know the last time we did our bulk recording. Maybe it was March. Is it April now? This damn year is moving. You hear me? In March, we recorded a couple of episodes, but a couple of things happened. The first guest of that month, the morning that they were supposed to record, they canceled on me. So that put us from four shows to three shows. And then March had five Saturdays in it. So we got five Saturdays, only three shows recorded. And then Breeze has been booked and busy. Breeze has been moving. He just took his wife to Chicago for her birthday. Breeze is in school. His daughter is running track this track season. So Breeze has been booked and busy, and I've been busy myself. So it's been a lot going on to try to get on like the same schedule to do that. And then if you were in Florida, we were supposed to record this week, but if you were in Florida, you know, we had some rain come down. If you anywhere in the South, you know that rain came down pretty crazy. So we were supposed to record this week together, but it rained on Wednesday. Breeze had a paper due Thursday. Friday something, I don't know. I didn't know. I think I had something to do on Friday. Like, the schedule has been kind of crazy. But I just wanted to jump on here and do a mini pod because I know people been hitting me up like, hey, Jerry, when the show coming back? What y'all niggas got going on? Who going to be the guest? What's going on? It's like, nah, nothing going. There's nothing going on. One, it was like a great time to take a break because we have been going. We have been going for a minute. Breeze got a lot going on with school, and I get that. So it was just a good time to take a break. And we'll be back next week with a brand new show, hopefully. Y'all just watch. We'll be back next week with a brand new show with a special guest. And that's another thing too. Y'all know that we're not bringing on a permanent third co-host as of yet. So we're doing this guest rotation, which I like. I like the guest rotation because if we're doing four shows on a Saturday, I don't like talking to the same person for 4 hours. So that's pretty dope. So it's just a lot of moving parts that we're trying to figure out, but we going to figure it out and we're going to make it work. But I just wanted to jump on the podcast microphone because I was like, damn, we've been gone for a while. We have been gone for a minute, and so much has fucking happened in the world. First thing that happened, I realized, and I don't want to admit this. My wife is trying to make me face this reality, and I don't want to face it. I don't want to face it. My dog is getting old. I got a dog named Cole. I had Cole since 2017. Now, Cole was probably 3 years old, maybe 4 years old when we got him. So 4 plus 7, that's 11 years. I had to do the math on my fingers just that quick. That's 11 years. So Cole is about 11 years old. Nobody really knows for sure how old Cole is. Cole was a rescue. We rescued Cozy. We already know how old this nigga is for real. This nigga could be about 15 years old. But but Cole is getting old. And my wife is trying to make me face the realization that Cole is getting old. And I'm like, nah, he fine. He's just a mature dog. He's not a puppy. You know, like when he was a puppy, he was wild. Right now, he's just a dog. He's in his dog years. He's living his best doggy life. Cole has been doing a lot of old shit here recently that made me realize, like, ah, shit, my dog is probably getting old. My wife, Veronica, has self-diagnosed him with early onset dementia. I'm like, my dog does not have dementia, okay? He probably just forgot who you were. That's why he barked at you. You changed your hair. You changed your hair and he didn't like it. So that's probably what that was. But what really made me realize it, Cole, yeah, well, you know, dogs make mistakes. So I don't necessarily blame this on his age. I blame it partially on, well, it's probably partially and probably wholly my fault. So Cole must have ate something that didn't sit well with his stomach. And Cole will dig in trash if you leave it out. He will sneak like food, like you can't leave shit around Cole. He's an opportunist. So I think that he took advantage of that. Or I did give him, don't let my wife hear me when I say this, I did give him some rice from a restaurant in Jacksonville called Hawkers. And now that I think about it, that rice was very oily. It was fried rice. It was like shrimp fried rice. And it probably had a lot of oil. That probably fucked him up. That's probably what did it. And that's my fault. Cole has been, his bowel, sorry if you're eating or drinking something, has been very loose. He's been very loose bowel. I hope I'm saying the word right. He's been very loose with the bowels. So one day this week, I was exhausted. And I normally get up in the morning, let Cole out, you know, let him run around. Cole has a room downstairs that he's in when I don't feel like being bothered, or he don't feel like being bothered, or my wife don't feel like being bothered. But I left him in that room. And Cole recently learned how to play with squeaky balls. He used to only play with the little stuffed animal toys, but he recently learned how to play with like a squeaky ball. So he was running through, like he'll pop a hole in the ball like that. So I found a ball on Amazon it's damn near unbreakable. Like no dog can break it. It was $9. It was $9. The damn ball is like a little hard, so I can see why a dog couldn't break it, but it squeaks. And I got it for Cole. It's his favorite toy. So I put it in his room with him. Like this is like when I first bought it, like a couple of months ago. And he started barking whenever he plays with the toy. So like him barking is letting me know that he's enjoying, you know, his time playing with the toy. He's trying to figure it out. How can I get to the squeaker? So that's been a thing that Cole has always done. Like if he's barking in his room, he's playing with his toy. So I never tripped about that. So the other day, I was exhausted. I had ordered me some breakfast from Uber Eats. I ate. I did not let Cole out that morning because I was like, okay, he went out late last night, like real late. Like when I say late last night, I mean like maybe 5 o'clock in the morning. So here it is, 10 o'clock. He good. So I was upstairs and I hear him barking like roof, 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 roof. I'm like, okay, all right. Like he down there playing with his toy. But I did not hear a squeal, because if Cole squeals, that's like him whining. And I'm like, okay, he whining. He must want something. Want to go out, want some food. Typically doesn't when he needs to go out. I didn't hear him whine. I just heard him barking. So I was like, oh, he's playing with his toy. I fell asleep. I ate my goddamn Cracker Barrel, grandma's breakfast with the pancakes and the eggs, nigga. Two sausage links, side of grits. And I went to sleep. I took my ass to sleep, and when I woke up, I should have immediately went downstairs to let Cole out, but I did not. I woke up, I started, like, you know, I had to go somewhere, so I started, you know, getting ready to go somewhere. It was like on a Thursday. I think I was going to go watch my homeboy Cortez Brooks perform at the Comedy Zone. He was hosting for Dose Salon, so I was going to go there, and I decided, I was like, let me call my chapter advisor for Cap Alpha Psi, Brother Malprez, and we call him back. So I called Malprez back. I'm upstairs this entire time. And me and Malprez is on the phone probably talking for like an hour. Cole ain't saying shit. So I'm like, okay, Cole down there, he chilling. So it's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon at this point. Now, last time I took Cole out was 5 o'clock in the morning. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You can see kind of how I fucked up already. So me and Malprez talking, we get off the phone. I go downstairs. I'm like, shit, let me go let Cole out so he can go use the bathroom. When I hit the corner on the stairs, a smell hit my nose. I said, oh my God. I said, Lord, please, Jesus, if at any day you was going to do this to me, don't let it be today.
Big labia energy.
But if I eat a little cheese every day,
just keep it.
It's like I have a tolerance.
Yeah.
For cheese.
Good same job with building cats. Up your tolerance.
Like if I pet a cat every day for the first week or two.
I thought you were going to say if I eat a cat a little bit every day, starting at the tail and just ate a little bit, I'd be fine. But if I didn't eat a cat for 3 months.
I would totally start at the face. Why would you start at the tail?
If someone put a gun to my head and said, eat this cat.
I'm trying to think of an acceptable scenario.
We're still talking about a feline, right?
Oh, did you think I was talking about pussy?
Maybe. It could go there.
I don't want to eat a cat. I want to eat a pussy.
I came downstairs. I opened Cole's door. He's standing there innocent, but covered. You hear me? Covered in shit. I said, oh, my Lord. Shit all in the room. And it wasn't like if it was like I said, if you eating, I apologize. If it was like regular dog shit, you know, our dogs like have like a little, you know, whatever. I'd be like, okay, cool. Like you fucked up. Let me get that up. Let me bop it real quick. Take you outside so you can go finish your business. Thank you for not peeing in here because peeing leaves are longer. You got a dog peeing your house. You got to damn near get a new house because that smell don't go away. But it was like a diarrhea. Like we'd all had the bad day. We'd all had a bad day. It was one of them bad day shits. And I was like, God almighty. So I ended up putting Cole in the garage. And I spent like 2 hours just cleaning that room. And then I cleaned the room. Then I had to clean Cole. So I spent another hour outside on the back porch washing Cole and cleaning Cole. So I was like, okay. I was like, you know what? That is like, I can't even be mad at the dog. I'm not mad at you at all, Cole. That's on me. I'm going to take that. That's me. I should have let you out when I saw you earlier this morning. I didn't. I went upstairs. I ate my goddamn Cracker Barrel grandma's breakfast. 2 pancakes, sausage links, eggs, grits on the side. And I went to sleep. And then even when I woke up, I got on the phone and started running my mouth with Brother Malprez for another hour. And who's to say when you shit it? Like you could have shit it easily at 10:01, or you could have shit it at 4:59. Like that's a big window from when I saw you. You could have did it. That's my fault. That's me. So I missed the show. I end up, you know, cleaning that up, not going nowhere. And then the next day, I woke up and it was a similar situation where he it wasn't nowhere near as much shit. But he had like little drip drops all around the goddamn room. And I said, Cole, what the fuck is wrong with you? But like, I know what's wrong. Like, okay, you have diarrhea. Like it's apparent. I know when I have that as an adult, what I be going through. So I ain't even tripping. So what I had to do, this is about me TMI. So, there's a new women. Y'all women, y'all figured out. Y'all know what y'all doing. Women either wear tampons, pads, or like the little they got Tamplex makes like these little brief diaper shits. I don't know what you call them, but they're made for women for their period. And I guess women can choose to wear. Y'all tell me in the comments. I don't know this shit for real. Women can either choose to wear a tampon, which I think that one goes up in you, a tam pad, which that one just sits on the lining of your drawers, and then there's this other one that you can put on like panties. So my wife uses the latter of the three. So one day she sent me to the store to go get some, and I didn't know what the fuck it was. I was just in the store shopping. I fucking brought the pins. I was like, "They shit, it looks like these when you wear them." I thought this is what you was wearing. She was like, "No, the ones I get are black. They in the period section. Not no goddamn diapers." I was like, "Well, shit, what's the difference?" So I guess there is a difference. But so I had these pins at the house because I had brought them for her foot because I thought it was the tampon thing. So I had to put a depend on Cole. Cole is walking around the house in a depend. And I said, I'd be damned if your ass get me again. Cause I'm not cleaning up no more shit off the floor. Now I clean it off of you. Cause I used to work in a nursing home. I would clean it off of you, but I ain't cleaning up no more shit off the floor. So now Cole is walking around with a goddamn diaper on. And I was like, I never thought I'd be to this point where I would have a dog in a diaper. Like I don't want to be that old. I've never had a dog that made it that far, even growing up. They would have either got hit by a car by now or ran away. I've never had a dog. I've never had a dog in a diaper. So this shit is new to me. And I'm like, Cole, dog, like you got two more days of the shits. After two more days, I'm taking you to the highway and let you figure this shit out. Because I cannot continue to put up with the shit. So my wife's like, husband, your dog is just getting old. I'm like, no, he's not old. He's in his best dog years. He's just got an upset stomach. But now talking through it, I high key think that because I think I gave him that Hawker's Chinese food, and it took a while for it to settle. Cause I think that we got that like on Sunday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, that nigga has been letting go like since then. Either that or he got into something, but I blame me. I think that I'm definitely the villain in that situation. Like I said, I can't be mad at Cole because we've all had a shitty day, a shitty 2 days. I'm lactose intolerant, so if I walk down an ice cream aisle, my stomach just get to hurting. So even when I drink coffee, I try to get my coffee. I'm the nigga at Starbucks. Like, let me get a hot mocha latte, no whole milk. Let me get it with almond milk. This, that, and the third, half decaf. Like, I'm that nigga. But I think some of these baristas or baristos or burrito, whoever the fuck be out here at these coffee shops, I don't think that they be really making the adjustments necessary when you be in the line making those adjustments. Because there's a coffee shop in Jacksonville, and I don't want to say that they racist, but they're not culturally careful. They're not culturally careful. There's a place in Jacksonville called Iliano's. I found this place like on a humbug. One day I was just going to get my car washed, and I was like, oh, it's a coffee shop. Let me stop over there. Let me go get some coffee. Before I go take my car through the car wash and wash my car, I get some coffee. I was a little tired, so I get a half decaf. And it was some good-ass coffee. They give you the coffee in the cup. You go through the window. You order your coffee. They bring it out. They put a little sticker on it. The sticker is typically like, you know, a flower or a jellyfish or a sea turtle, some kind of sea animal. And it was good. So I told my wife about it, and my wife and I, we went another day, and she had some coffee, and she was like, oh, this is really good coffee. This is like some of the best coffee I've ever had. This is better than Starbucks, better than Dunkin', which is where I normally go. She's like, this is some good-ass coffee. So she started frequently going, and then I work from home, so I would frequently go. This is how good the coffee is. Dunkin' Donuts is down the street from my house. Dunkin' Donuts is maybe 4 minutes from my house. Iliano's is about a good 10-13 minutes away from my house. So I would drive that 10-13 for Iliano's coffee because it was that good, right? So we were going, and I would always go. And one day we went and I ordered, they had like a grit bowl with eggs and grits and sausage in it. And if you know me, and if you know this show, you know that I invented the sausage, egg, and cheese grit bowl at Waffle House. Now, Waffle House has a top-tier sausage, egg, and cheese grit bowl. I will not disagree or lie, but Waffle House food tastes like Waffle House food. Like, I realized as I turned 30, you got to be drunk to eat Waffle House food. Like, you don't just go to Waffle House on a Tuesday, like, yeah, let me get an all-star. Like, nah, nigga, you on some kind of narcotic or liquor eating at Waffle House. It's good when you own the shit. So Ileano's tastes like their sausage, egg, and cheese grit bowl tasted cleaner. So I had it one time. I was like, oh, shit. I put my brother on it. They put like a real kind of Gouda cheese in their mother. It was fucking delicious. So the next couple of times I went to Ileano's after that, we would catch them like at 12 o'clock. And it'd be one of the days my wife worked from home. Like, hey, it's lunch break. Let's go get some coffee. And they would be out of the grits because, you know, people order the sausage, egg, and cheese grit bowl. And I would get like kind of frustrated, like, damn, y'all got no more grits? Shit. Okay, cool. Let me get the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant, whatever. So I went one time with my wife. She needed to go to pick up something from Hobby Lobby. And I was like, well, since we're going to Hobby Lobby, let's stop at Ileano's, get some coffee. So I got some coffee, and they gave me my coffee cup. And like I said, they normally put a sticker, like a little flower or a sea turtle or a seahorse or squid. On this particular cup of coffee, it was a monkey on it. So I said, ah, that's odd. I'm like, well, what the fuck? I'm like, should I be offended that they put a monkey on my coffee? Or is this just a pile of stickers in the back? And if this is just a pile of stickers in the back, how many niggas is getting the monkey? Like, are y'all being intentional with y'all monkey? Or y'all just picking stickers at random and I just so happen to be lucky monkey number 7? Like, what the fuck is going on? So my wife, she was like, I don't know, husband. She was like, even if they did do that on accident, like, she was like, give them some grace. They could have done it on accident. She said, I don't know if I would have a monkey in, you know, my arsenal of stickers. So I was like, you know what? Okay, cool. I said, I'm going to give them some grace on this. I'm going to give them a pass. I'm going to just say this is a little mistake. The monkey was hanging on the vine and shit too. Cute little ugly ass monkey. Well, I was like, damn, they give a nigga a monkey. So I said, okay, cool. We're going to let it ride. I'm just going to say this was whatever. So maybe a week and a half after that incident, my wife and I, we both go to the same car wash. So I was like, let's go wash our cars. And across the street from the car wash is Ileano's. So we was like, let's get some coffee. So she went in the drive-thru in her car, and I went around the other side to the drive-thru in my car. I ordered a coffee. She ordered a coffee. I be goddamn. It's another monkey on my coffee cup. Now, at this point, I'm like, nah, nigga. So I went to the parking lot back then. My wife pulled in beside me. And I said, wife, what kind of sticker they put on top of your coffee? She's like, oh, a flower. I said, these motherfuckers gave me another monkey. I said, I don't know if I should be offended. I don't know if I should go back up there and say something. Like, I don't know. So me just being, you know, the marketing person that I am, I reached out to their corporate office and I sent them a picture of the cup. And I ironically, I kept the other monkey too. I was like, okay, now this is two monkeys that they just sent. What the fuck is going on? And I got like a vague response, like, hey, so each of our locations are independently owned franchises and they put the stickers, da 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 da. So we highly recommend that you reach out to the owner of that location and let them know what's going on. And I was like, oh, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. So since then,
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
I have not been back to Ileano's. No, I did. Okay, I went back. I went back one more time after that just to test my hypothesis. I went back. But the time I went back, I ordered a sausage, egg, and cheese grip bowl. I got there early. I was up early. I ordered a sausage, egg, and cheese grip bowl and a coffee. I didn't get a monkey on top of my coffee cup this time. But they didn't put the right, they gave me a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant. And I was like, damn, that's not what I ordered. So I just circled around and went to the other drive-thru. And I was like, hey, y'all gave me a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant. I ordered the grip bowl. So now the lady, this is all white women that work in there. So now they're going back and forth. No, you said sausage. I was like, ma'am, if I would have said a croissant, don't you think I would not have just pulled around and just came back and told you that I said a grip bowl? She's like, no, but you, I heard you say croissant. Da, da, da. I don't care what you heard me say. I said a sausage, egg, and cheese grip bowl. So we going back and forth for a minute. Then it's like, okay, no, like, no worries. We'll refund it. Well, no, it's like, we'll fix it. So they gave me a bacon, egg, and cheese grip bowl. And you know, I don't fucking like bacon like that. I'd rather have sausage paws before I have goddamn bacon. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go. I'm not even going to sit here and like, argue back and forth again. So I left and I drank the coffee, and I kid you not, that coffee, and I ordered, it was a white mocha coffee, half decaf, no whole milk, substitute that for almond milk. I know how I ordered it. That shit had me on the toilet for 2 days, nigga. That shit had me on the toilet so long I put on a diet. With a diaper, I said, I can't keep doing this shit. But I was like, there's no way that coffee that she gave me was decaf, because the only time I feel like this is if I eat ice cream. I'd be like, fuck it, I'm gonna be a man, I'm gonna eat some ice cream. Or if I drank milk with cereal, or like have like dairy. I was like, but I know that white hoe put fucking regular, she ain't hear me say grip bowl, and she ain't hear me say almond milk. She is moving too fucking fast. And I ain't been back to Ileano since then. And that was, so I say all that to say, Cole, you're not getting old. You probably just ate something that your ass was not supposed to eat. And that's all that is. That's it. So shout out to my dog, Cole. Shout out to my wife. And you know, fuck Ileano's. That's how I feel. Man, so it's been so much happening in the world as of late. Rest in peace to OJ Simpson, man. RIP to OJ. You know what? You know what pissed me off? That ugly ass bitch, Caitlyn Jenner. Now, excuse me if you're a supporter. And if you are a supporter of Caitlyn Jenner, fuck you too. I don't know. Like, the OJ trial happened, what, in 1994? I was one, so I wasn't, you know, aware of what the fuck was going on. But as I got older and learned about and talked to my parents and, you know, realized racial discrepancies and all that good stuff, I formed an opinion myself, too. And even looking at, like, you know, the Rodney King situation and, you know, what happened with him and how folks in California, more so the West, were mistreated and abused by police officers. I think that folks got to do their history, right? Like, and I'm not going to sit on this box too long. I'm just going to, like, real quick. The reason that black folks ended up in places outside of the South, right, is because when the slave migration was happening, and it was a trans-Panhellenic circle, a lot of slaves ended up in South America. Like, that's where the fuck they were going. They were going to South America, and then they were coming to, you know, Central, and a lot of people were going to, like, New York and the East Coast of America. And then they stopped the transatlantic slave trade, and then came the domestic slave trade, where the folks who had slaves up north started shipping their slaves in numbers, nigga, to the South. So that's how a lot of slaves, that's how slaves ended up in the South. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Carolina. That's how we, Louisiana, that's how we ended up in the South. That's why a bulk of black people live in the South. And once slavery ended, there was a reconstruction period where black folks started doing well for themselves. We started making ground. We had black sheriffs and black deputies and black mayors. And if you think about the city of Tulsa, where black millionaires were living and thriving and surviving, we started to do that. And then the KKK was formed. And don't ask me the years. I'm just giving you a rough, I've been drinking a little bit of whiskey history. And then came the lynchings, the public lynchings of black people, the hangings, you can kill a black man and not get arrested for it. If a black man look at a white woman the wrong way, Emmett Till, we gonna kill you. If a black man whistles at a white woman, Tulsa, we gonna come burn your whole city down and kill 300 plus black people. So when the racial terror lynchings started to happen, black folks who ancestors were slaves and ran from the south to the north during slavery, when the racial terror lynching started to happen, black folks in numbers and droves, we went out west. And that's how we ended up in Chicago, in LA, in Missouri. We migrated to the west. We ran away from the south and ended up in the west. But with us running to the West, a lot of people who don't look like us didn't want us there. And they had some of those same practices because we was moving over there. People from the South who didn't look like us were moving over there too. So that's how you got a corrupt system like the LAPD, full of corrupt white folks who abused their powers when it came to black and brown people. So when Rodney King got beat and there was no justice for that, and Rodney King, I hanging out the goddamn socket saying, can't we all just get along? And all of those officers who were caught on camera, on video camera, whooping his ass, were acquitted, right? You got Emmett Till, a 13-year-old gets killed, visiting his family for what, looking at or whistling at or talking to a white woman, whatever the story is. You got a mother and a son who both get lynched in Mississippi for owning the business and having the dispute with a white woman who came into their store over a price dispute, and them saying that they're not going to whatever give her money back, and a white woman going in line on them. You have both of those people get lynched, and you see the public notice of two niggas wanted dead or alive, preferably dead, with a bounty on their head. You have that happen in America. And then one of America's greatest athletes at the time, for sure, Heisman winner, USC, O.J. Simpson, you know, he's accused of the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her presumed to be new boyfriend or lover, Ron Goldman. And did he do it? Did he didn't do it? I don't know. I know the police officer Furman pleaded the fifth on the case when they asked him, did he plant or manipulate evidence in the O.J. Simpson investigation? So that muddied the water. But what that case really was about, it was one, black folks finally saw a black man in a situation that would normally end up with us being beaten or killed walk away from that situation. That was the first thing. And the second thing, and probably the most important thing, was black folks saw an intelligent black man by the name of Johnny Cochran take on a legal system that had historically been against us and didn't never work out in our favor. Johnny Cochran took on that legal system and won. So the O.J. Simpson trial is layered in all of that muck. And I've never got on to the bandwagon or a public and say, I think he did it. I don't think he did it. You don't know. I will say the nigga wrote a book called If I Would Have Did It. O.J. Simpson wrote a book called If I Would Have Did It, This Is How I Would Have Did It. Like, nigga, it sounds like, you know. But I will say, America, that has been like, OJ has been the butt of jokes for a long time, black and white. He has been hated by many. He has been loved by many. OJ, they finally got some get back when OJ some people had took some y'all know the word I'm looking for. Goddamn it. That's a word. People had took OJ's shit. I've been drinking that whiskey. People had took OJ's football equipment shit. His it was worth a lot of money. And OJ went and stole it back. And the nigga went to jail for like, oh, I think they gave us that. They tried to give us that 17 years. He got out early on parole, but they hit that nigga with the book. The judge in that case, and that was in Las Vegas, she sentenced OJ like she was sentencing him for the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Rod Goldman. So OJ sat in jail for that. And a lot of folks feel like that was a little bit of redemption. And then OJ passed away recently from prostate cancer. And you got folks like Caitlyn Jenner celebrating it. And Caitlyn Jenner is just the celebrity that did that. But I know folks locally celebrated it. Good riddance. Thank goodness. He's finally going to ride in hell. And it's like, I don't know OJ. Never met the motherfucker. The only OJ I know is OJ the Juice Man. Hey, okay. That's the only OJ I fuck with for real. But I would never celebrate someone's demise. To me, that's kind of, I don't know, man. I think karma sometimes can be real. Karma sometimes is realer than what you want. And I think that says more about you as a person than it does as the person who passed away. Like, you can believe whatever the fuck you want to believe about that person. Even when Queen Elizabeth died in England, the Queen of England, and people was like, thank God the Queen is gone. I was like, thank God. She got a whole family and people who loved her. Now, that motherfucker was about 172, but still, like, yeah, you don't celebrate nobody's passing. Now, after they pass and you had the funeral and you have a celebration of life, you go out there and do the electric slide and shit. That's different. But you don't celebrate that they gone. Yeah. I don't know. The day that OJ died reminded me of how racist our country is and how full of bigots our country is and how many people don't like people that look like us, that look like me. It reminded me of that. The OJ Simpson passing reminded me of that, and the LSU Iowa women's basketball game reminded me of that. Like, if you wanted to find a racist in 2024, look at ESPN's comments on anything they posted by Angel Reese. If you want to find a racist, go to ESPN comments, look up what they post about Angel Reese, and then go look at all the comments. Now, the reason they couldn't pull that bull jive, I said bull jive like Shannon Sharp, the reason they couldn't pull that with South Carolina, and they tried to, is because I don't think nobody, like South Carolina, they play. They don't talk. And one thing that white people in America, not all, but a lot of, one thing that they hate the most is a loudmouth black person who can back their shit up. They hate that shit. Cam Newton, Shakari Richardson, and Angel Reese. They hate a loudmouth black person. If you a black person and you are in a space or in a position where, you know, you just do your role, I'm gonna just do my job and stay humble. They love a Russell Wilson. They'll fucking love Russell Wilson. Let your ass start barking back though. Let you be one of the ones that bark back. Oh, he's arrogant. She's arrogant. Da, 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 da. But I'm like, this goddamn big ass toenail of a woman, Caitlin Clark, who is great. Caitlin Clark is great. She talked as much shit as the rest of them, as she fucking should, because she is a great athlete. But when she talks, she's being, she's just this, that's just a fire in her. She has a fire, a passion. When Angel Reese talks, oh, that she's just cocky. She's sorry, Bayou Barbie. The team is hell. Kim Mulkey. I'm like, man, we literally live in two different Americas. We live in two different Americas. And the thing is, it's like the moment that we stop caring so much about other people and focusing on what the fuck we got going on, we will be a lot better. But we're not going to get to that place in America because the disassociation is real. Like, how can I disassociate from what the fuck I got going on and worry about, critique, or talk about what other folks are doing? That's why shows like The Housewives are fucking amazing. And all reality shows are great, because I can talk about your drama and your life and your situations and not have to worry about what the fuck is going on in my house. Yeah, Nene, I can talk about your husband and your marriage, and I ain't got to worry about my shit that's crumbling. I can talk about your kids and your this and your that, and I ain't got to worry about why my kids fucking dropping out of school. Like, it's shit like that. That gets me. So I'ma say rest in peace to OJ Simpson, condolences to his family. He had kids and grandkids and people who loved him and cared about him. Rest in peace to Nicole Brown Simpson too. God damn it, and Ron Goldman. You know, like you don't celebrate that. That's just me though. That's just fucking me. I realize that I'm not cut like everybody else. I don't do or think or move like the masses want you to do and think and move, but that's fine. Hey, listen, a couple of things before I go. I'm going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, in May. We're doing our annual Kappa trip to Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm not going to say the date because I'll never say when I'm traveling. I need something to do in Charlotte. We need some stuff to do. I've been looking on the Tickety Talks and I ain't found a thing really to do in Charlotte. We normally go to Sandestin, Florida for our trip. And Sandestin, granted, it ain't really shit to do in Sandestin. The highlight of the trip is normally that Saturday boat trip or Sunday boat trip where we go to Crab Island. We rent a pontoon boat and go to Crab Island and just, you know, hang out with everybody. I don't think Charlotte has a beach. Could be wrong. Y'all let me know if I'm wrong or not. I don't think that Charlotte has a beach. So I don't know, like, activity-wise, what is there to do in Charlotte? I ain't going to Top Golf. We got Top Golf in every, not every city. We got Top Golf in a lot of major cities. We got a Top Golf in Jacksonville. And I don't need no activities like climbing a wall and no shit. I don't need shit like that. Well, I just need something like stuff to do. Like, I'm not a club goer. I love a good lounge. I love loungy activities, cigar bar. I realize I'm not a club goer when my wife, shout out to my wife, she just became a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. Shout out to my lovely wife, number 80 on that line. And the weekend after she crossed, they threw like a party at a club here in Jacksonville for him. I think, was it Oasis? That's how showing how old I am. I don't even think Oasis is still open. It was some club here in Jacksonville. The night before, JT was there from the City Girls performing, and then the next night, the Deltas had a show. Had like a little party. We went out to that club. I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna go with you. I go. And it's a couple of things I realized. One, I don't really party in my city. I think I saw, is it Lex P from Poor Minds? She was on Twitter and she said something about, you know, going out in your city is the dumbest shit that you can possibly do. And I was like, I can kind of see that. Cause like me and my wife, we go out and I go out, she goes out, but we go out in other cities. Like we have more fun in other cities. Dubai was a great time. DC had some great ass places to go out to. We went out in Miami, like we go out in other cities. In Jacksonville, we don't really go out because it's like, motherfucker, we live here. So I can agree with that. But we went out. They strolled. My wife and I, we have very similar personalities where it's like, you know, we are very introverted, especially out in public settings. But once you get us to drinking, then we'll like, you know, woo! This is how I knew I turned 30 for real. I ain't know none of the songs until the second DJ came and started playing like the old shit, like the 2000s R&B hip hop. I was like, okay, I know that's my kind of vibe right there. We can rock out such a vibrant thing. Hey, vibrant. Like I was like, okay, cool. They had a lot of bars in this club, which I thought was dope. And I would go to the bar at the top and I was ordering, you know, let me get a Douce and a Coke. I was like, God damn. So you mean to tell me for a shot of Douce calls the price of a bottle of Douce? Oh, y'all niggas is tripping. Let me get two more though, because I've been drinking now, and now I don't give a fuck about money. Like I'm I'm not doing math in my head. Let me get another Douce and Coke. Get her what she drank. Why would you want a sex on it? Get her a sex on the beat. So now we drinking, now we vibing, now we having a good time. We here. Now we both sitting at the bar. And I make the dumb suggestion to my wife. I'm like, let's take some shots. My wife was like, you want to take a shot? Listen, if ever you're out with me and I make the suggestion to take a shot, just go ahead, take me to the car, take me on home, because I'm fucked up. I am fucked up. If I ever say, let's take Jerry don't suggest shots, just a PSA. So I tell my wife, I'm like, hey, let's take some shots. It's like, okay, yeah. So the bartender came over. She was like, what can I get you? My wife said, let me get two shots. The bartender said, of what? My wife said, Bacardi. Me and the bartender looked at my wife like, motherfucker, what? What? My wife was like, yeah, two shots of Bacardi. The bartender was like, all right. So she poured two double shots of Bacardi. I was like, they trying to give this shit away, wife. This is bad. So we took the two shots of Bacardi. I was like, fuck, okay. Cool, hit me in the chest. Boom. God damn it. Now we're here. And if you've ever been out and you've been drinking and you've been having a good time, you know what I mean when I say now we're here. Like, you're at that point of, God damn it, let's go. Like, what's up? Nigga, let's go. We here. You ain't drunk. You ain't over the edge. You ain't weaving and wobbling. You just here. Let's go. So I was like, do another round of drinks, right? Let's do another shot. So this time she was smart. She said, let's get Bacardi Malibu rum. It's a whole lot smoother. I said, okay, cool. And honestly, I don't know what folks take shots of. Like, is it a shot? If you take a shot of tequila, what kind of tequila are you taking a shot of? If you're taking a shot of rum, what kind of rum? Like, what are y'all taking shots of? So my wife, we ordered the Malibu. And those are easy. But if we were already here, goddamn, now we're there. So this club get ready to end because they were, and when I say end, it's like 8 o'clock because they were doing like a 4 to 8 for the Deltas. And then at 8:01, the hood came in. If you know anything about Jacksonville, this club is off of Norwood Boulevard, 3220809 area. So nigga, at 8:01, the hood came in. Yep. Fuck all that Delta Greek Kappa shit, nigga. What's up? We here to post up to, yeah, nigga. So we was like, okay, we gotta go, but let's go get something to eat. So we was like, what we gonna eat? I was like, oh no, let's just find something. My wife was like, ooh, remember 6 years ago? That's how I should have knew she was drunk. Remember 6 years ago, we had some really good wings from that place. What was the name of it? I was like, oh shit. This is how you knew I was drunk, because I knew exactly what she was talking about immediately. I was like, oh, Aromas. I said, that's a cigar lounge. Yeah, let's go there. So we went to Aromas. I got a cigar. We got a table. The wings came quick as hell. And I was like, well, shit, since we here, God damn it, let me get a rum and coke. She got her drink. And we eating the wings, and they had good ass wings. The wings were fucking amazing. I had lemon pepper wet. I think she had like a honey barbecue or something. It was fucking amazing. And then we were drinking, we were vibing. The DJ was good at this spot. It was a lounge. I love a good lounge. We ordering drinks. Next thing I know, we got home. Now, like I said before on this podcast many times, and I'm going to say it again, I do not encourage drinking and driving. Fucking call an Uber. Don't be irresponsible. Out here in these streets, it's people, loved ones, family members, cousins, friends, people just trying to get home. Do not drink and drive. But I did. And that line ain't never been so clear in my life. I was solid though. I'm not going to say like I was fucked up. It was a smooth, easy ride home from what I remember. And, yeah, it was a good night until about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was up this whole time because I couldn't go to sleep. If you were there and then you were here, now you gone. I went through all three stages. I was there, I went here, and now I'm gone. my mouth started getting like, you know, when your mouth get moist, like, God damn it. Shit, here it come. And then the room starts spinning. You try to lay down, but the room starts spinning and shit. I was like, God damn, dog. I said, oh, nigga, I ain't did this shit. I hadn't felt like this since maybe 6 years ago. It probably had been 6 years since I had got to this level. Because I was like, I'm a sophisticated drinker now. I know what to drink, when to drink, how much to drink. I don't get like this. I know when to stop drinking. I was like, God damn, dog. Nigga, every single lemon pepper in me came up out of me. Every single one. And I realized in that moment, at that time, that I was a good 30 years old, nigga. You ever feel this, like, everybody, if you of age and you the drunk and you done had one of them nights, then you done had one of the ones where your shoulders, your shoulders touching your ears, bitch. I was like, ah, come on. I'm down bad. My wife down bad. I can't nobody help nobody. Cole got a diaper on. Shit was just, shit was just bad. So I say all that to say, I will be in Charlotte in May. And I need recommendations on things to do. We need recommendations on things to do. I'm going to be with my line brothers. We need recommendations on things to do in Charlotte. I saw a spot called Vibe, which I think is nice. It was also one in Atlanta. I think it's like maybe like a chain. They like probably the same place. But Vibe, I saw that spot. But some other things to do in Charlotte, if you got any ideas. And then, some comedy dates. April 20th, I will be in Palm Coast, Florida. That is right. I'm coming home to Palm Coast. I will be in Palm Coast with my guy, James John. Please come out and see James John. We're going to be at Christy B's Comedy Club. It's a brand new club. Shout out to Christy B. Christy B is a comedian in Jacksonville. Nice white lady. She was the first person to give me a headliner spot. Christy B paid me to be a headliner, I think, maybe at this same club years ago. It was a restaurant back in the day, but years ago when I was in college, well, I probably wasn't even in college. When I was a freshman in college at Daytona State, Christy B paid me to be a headliner. I think I made $50, and I had a decision because I was supposed to work at Ruby Tuesday that night as a busser. And it was like, go to work at Ruby Tuesday or do a no call, no show and go tell jokes at the comedy club. And I went to go tell jokes at the comedy club and Ruby Tuesday fired me. So fuck Ruby Tuesday. And shout out to Christy B. So I'll be back at her club. I'm hosting that show. It's a Saturday, I believe. April 20th, Palm Coast with James Young. And then May 9th. Listen to me and listen to me. God damn it. Good. May 9th, I am in Jacksonville, Florida at the Jacksonville Comedy Zone with the one, the only, Gigi LaFleur. God damn it. If you don't know who Gigi LaFleur is, she is one of the funniest people on social media and on stage. Go to her Instagram, Gigi LaFleur, look her up. And as soon as you get off her Instagram page, go to the ComedyZoneJax.com. Get your tickets to see Gigi LaFleur. I'm doing a guest spot with Gigi LaFleur. That is May 9th. That is a Thursday night right here in the city of Jacksonville. So if you haven't seen me in Jacksonville and you live in Jacksonville or close by, come see me at the Comedy Zone with Gigi LaFleur. You're going to enjoy me, but you're going to also enjoy everybody else on that show. And you're going to definitely enjoy Gigi LaFleur. So go get those tickets. I'm almost certain that they're going to be, you got to move right now because they're going to probably sell out. It's a Thursday show. That's it I got for y'all, man. That's all I got. Breeze, man, shout out to Breeze. He'll be back next week. He's done with his semester of school, so he'll be back. And, man, we appreciate y'all for rocking and rolling with us. I appreciate y'all for listening to this mini pod, this Just Jerry episode. Hope that y'all was entertained. And, yeah, that's what we got going on, man. We are the Dignified Linguists, and guess what? We out.